How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to talk about, the NFL, as per usual. And also, as of late, I've realized I don't think I've ever given sources as per the stories I read, so I figured I'd compile a list of sources. Most of the stories I talk about tonight and in general come from NFL.com, ESPN, CBS Sports, NBC Sports, Fox Sports, Yahoo Sports, the AP, and like the individual team websites. Like, you can go to like the Packers website and they have news stories, and yeah, things like that. So there you go, sources. But the Rams lost to the Seahawks in an overtime game. The score was 38-37, and there was a bit of a controversy as, I'll read you basically a description of the play as it makes more sense that way. It was a two-point conversion midway through the fourth quarter that allowed Seattle to tie the game 30-30. A Sam Darnold quick screen bounded off of the Rams pass rusher Jared Verse and popped into the air at the goal line before falling to the turf. It initially appeared to be an incomplete pass and was ruled a missed attempt. However, as the teams lined up for the kickoff, officials reviewed the play and determined Darnold's pass actually went backwards, making it a fumble, and Zach Charbonnet, who picked up the ball in the end zone, was awarded 2 points for a two-point conversion. I watched the call. Let me rephrase. I watched the play, I suppose. I think I probably would have left it as a as an incompletion, but I don't know the rule book like you'd hope the refs do. Now, I will say that, by the way, people are saying that it was a bad call, and some conspiracy theorists, I guess, for lack of a better term, are saying that that essentially Vegas made the call and the refs changed it because of that. I don't know. But Sean McVay said that the call was very interesting. He said he'd never seen anything like it. And Matt Stafford said, I just want to know the rule because I thought when plays like that, two-minute plays or two-point plays inside of 2 minutes and stuff, I didn't think you were allowed to advance a fumble. So the Rams are very upset about it, as one might suspect. I mean, you know, they lost a game on a questionable call, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. But, like I said, I think that provides a bad look, whether or not it was or wasn't a fumble. I mean, I think if you would have kept it as an incompletion, nobody would have said anything. But somehow, I don't know. I mean, it could have just... The play just looked like an incompletion. Sam Darnold threw it, it bounced off a defender's helmet, and it landed in the end zone. I mean, that's, I don't know. It's just an interesting situation, I suppose, for the Rams to find themselves in. But like I said, I think they probably should have just ruled it incomplete. I mean, I think it was a weird ruling. And also, Sean McVay did expand on the whole thing. I just didn't put the whole quote in here. He basically just said that, he's been around the game his entire life and he's never seen anything like what happened on the two-point play. But he also said that, basically that it wasn't... It's not an excuse. I mean, in theory, I guess they could have let up a two-point conversion and still won the game. So he said they could have just, performed better. But that he's never seen anything like that before. And like I said, there have been at least some people on the interweb, is always the internet, who are basically saying that Vegas made the call. Because for the most of the game, the Rams were beating the Seahawks rather well. To my understanding, I didn't watch the game. But apparently in the fourth quarter, they dropped the ball, and all of a sudden, the Seahawks were back in the game. And then the two-point conversion, like I said, tied it up. And it ended up being a 37-38 game, and the Seahawks won in overtime. Now, I figured the Rams were going to win that game, just because Matt Stafford has been doing incredibly well. And, you know, they got... I mean, I don't know, their team's just doing good. I mean, they're you know, doing rather well. Now, I understand, I guess... I had more faith in Matt Stafford than Sam Darnold, I guess, but JSN is probably looking to be the best wide receiver this year. So, I mean, you know, take that for what it is, I suppose. Also, the NFL is going to potentially fine Puka Nacua because he said that he was on a stream after the game where they lost to the Seahawks, and he said, the refs are the worst. You don't think a ref is texting his friends in the group chat like, yo, you guys just saw me on Sunday Night Football? That wasn't PI, but I called it. These guys are human beings, too. He's gonna get fined for that one. I don't know what to tell you. That's... The NFL tends to not like it when you call out refs. I mean, I think Patrick Mahomes was fined like $50,000, if I recall correctly, $50,000, for calling out refs at one point in time. And, you know, I don't know exactly what he said, but, Puka Nacua on a live stream said that, that the refs are just making calls that aren't there. I think he's gonna get fined. Also, he did make a post on, like, X, formerly Twitter, basically saying that, it was basically quoted to something like, but am I wrong, though? And then he said that he appreciated the boys and, basically that he appreciated the refs, appreciated the stripes, and said, lol, you know, lol. But, he took it down, and, I don't think it matters that he took it down. By the way, it's funny, because the screenshot from the news article that I read, everybody in the comment section was telling him to take it down before he gets fined. And he's definitely going to get fined. The NFL is in the process of reviewing it, to determine what's going to happen. I'm almost certain they're going to fine him, and it wouldn't surprise me if they fined him more than, Patrick Mahomes. First off, you know, the NFL likes Patrick Mahomes. And secondly, I don't know, again, don't know exactly what Patrick Mahomes said, but Puka literally said that the refs are making calls that, didn't happen. Oh, by the way, he said that they were making calls that didn't happen just so they could be on TV too. Pretty much. So I don't think that was a good look for Puka. And also, apparently the streamer he was on with, I do not know anything about streamers, so don't ask me what the problem with the guy is. But the streamer he was on with, I don't know, apparently is not a popular kind of fellow. Which, there are a lot of those on the internet, which I don't understand how that quite works. If you're not popular, I don't know how you still maintain an audience, but... hate watching, I suppose. Anyways, yeah, so he's caught some backlash for even just being on the stream. But yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, Puka's still young, I guess. He's probably not quite figured out the whole media game, I suppose. But I don't think I think you should know better than to go around saying stuff like that, even in private. Even if you weren't on a stream, I don't know that I'd go around saying stuff like that, because you're... If it's not true, which there's no evidence that it is true, if it's not true, then, you know, you have now spread a rumor, or validated a rumor that has gone around, and, you know, you are in the NFL. You are a, I guess, in most people's mind, a credible source. So, you know, I'm sure that he's gonna, you know, he's already apologized for it, by the way. Basically said that he was just venting after the loss to the Seahawks. I don't think the NFL is going to go all easy on him, though. I'm sure he's going to get a big fine, like I said. But, so that's that, I suppose. By the way, if you have anything you would like to add to the conversation, or anything you wanted to talk about in general, feel free at 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. TJ Watt suffers a partially collapsed lung during a dry needle procedure. Which, to my understanding, is basically just acupuncture, but, like, the needles that they use aren't medicated, so they call it dry needling. And apparently it's really popular around the NFL, and I guess a collapsed lung is one of the potential risks. Everybody who was asked about it said basically that, you know, there's risk associated with everything that you do, and that they're not going to stop doing it. And I don't know how long T.J. Watt has been doing it, but T.J. Watt's not exactly a young football player at this point. I was going to say young man, but he's still a young man. He's just not a young football player. He is 31 years old now, and I'm sure he's, well, I can't say I'm sure, but he's probably had these, the dry needling, as they refer to it, many times before. But, I guess this time, I don't know exactly what went wrong, but something went wrong. But, to my understanding, he's, doing okay. He's just, in the hospital. Well, apparently he's not in the hospital anymore. I wanted to look it up there. Apparently TJ Watt is, at least out of the hospital. But, yeah, so he will not play against the Lions, though. But figured as much. He's got to get a collapsed lung. But yeah. So, TJ Watt is, nobody's really worried about the fact that TJ Watt had a, I'm sure they were worried for TJ Watt. But nobody's really going, according to the, I do know this one came from an AP article, this story. According to the AP article and all the players that they had reporters interview, they're not worried about it. Like I said, essentially, they just say that all of the, any treatment you take to, you know, rehab, I guess, has some kind of inherent risk, and that that is one of the risks of the acupuncture procedure. But I don't know. Now, I mean, this has nothing to do with the football, but personally, I'm not a big fan of needles in general. Like, scared of needles. I can let you in on that one. I don't think that, I don't know. I don't think that you should go putting needles in your body, I guess, but, you know, I assume it's medically allowed, so I'm sure there's some research in it, but not big on the needles. For some reason my head, my brain said that they were on the same team for a second. Patrick Mahomes is, I guess it's to the same note as per injured, but Patrick Mahomes has been placed on IR, his season is over, he's gonna be out for the rest of the season. The backup quarterback at the Chiefs is going to be Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew last played, I do believe, with the, like, actually played as starting quarterback with, I want to say, the Jacksonville Jaguars. At that time, you know, everybody said he had the Minshew magic. The last season, it looks like he was, he might have started, no. Wow. He had rough seasons. But yeah, no, so, yes, he did start at Jacksonville, though, which is where, yeah, in 2019, he threw for 3,271 yards, 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and ever since then, the numbers have kind of just been going down. But Gardner Minshew was going to be the backup quarterback. He's going to be playing, he's not even 30, so, I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in Gardner Minshew, but you never know. I mean, you know, I didn't have a lot of faith in, man, I can't even think of his name now. Played for the Dolphins for a while and then ended up on the Chiefs. He was a backup. Chad Henne. I didn't have a lot of faith in Chad Henne, but Chad Henne ended up being an all right backup for the Chiefs. And also, by the way, I do feel the need to add that he was placed on IR for a torn ACL, and he has since gotten surgery to have the ACL repaired, and to at least public knowledge, it is successful. And I see no reason as to why it would not have gone well. So I think that's the Chiefs were already in a tough spot as is, but I think that pretty good and well puts a pinpoint on the Chiefs season. I think that the Chiefs are going to be done, and that's going to be it's unfortunate that Patrick Mahomes had to, you know, tear an ACL, but it's, in my opinion, a good thing that the Chiefs are not going to the playoffs. Unfortunate, like I said, that Patrick Mahomes had to get hurt, though. Now, speaking of the Chiefs, both the Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals, by the way, are planning on moving out of Missouri. I did not know they were in Missouri, honestly, because they're called Kansas City. But they're planning on moving out of Missouri, as the voters in Jackson County, Missouri, that's where they both reside, both teams, they soundly defeated a local sales tax extension last year that would have helped to finance an $800 million renovation of Arrowhead and a $2 billion ballpark district for the Royals in downtown Kansas City. Ever since then, the Chiefs and the Royals have separately pursued, you know, finding somewhere else to build a stadium, I suppose. And it looks like both of them are going to be moving to Kansas. So they're actually going to be playing in Kansas now. I think it's probably likely to happen that they move, because the Kansas Department of Commerce said in a public statement that the state of Kansas is in active discussions with the Kansas City Chiefs about the prospects of building a new stadium and other facilities in Kansas. No final agreement has been reached, but this would be a massive economic win for Kansas and benefit Kansans for generations to come. We are aggressively pursuing this opportunity. And they have passed a bill to, or I guess a bond, I suppose, to fund, I guess, 50% of the cost of renovations of the stadium, as has, or I don't know about 50%. I know that the Missouri governor has, directed with or worked with lawmakers to authorize bonds covering up to 50% of renovations of the stadium and whatnot. But also, I know Kansas has also done it, and Missouri did so in response to Kansas lawmakers having their own bond package out first. Now, I don't know what the bond package for Kansas looks like, and I don't know what the entirety of the bond package for from Missouri looks like, but I think that, like I said, it's gonna be likely that they move to Kansas. The voters in Jackson County have already, you know, denied the sales tax, and I don't really see, because it says that in June Missouri's governor authorized back in June the bonds, and it says that the bonds are going to be covering up to 50% of the cost of the newer renovated stadiums, plus up to $50 million of tax credits for each stadium and unspecified aid from local governments. And yeah, that did come after Kansas lawmakers already passed their bond package. So, if they already turned down the tax, or the sales tax, to pay for the stadium, I don't know how they expect the local people, or the local, municipalities, to pay for the stadium. But that's neither here nor here. sorry. That's neither here nor there, I suppose. It's interesting. I think that the Missouri would be remiss to lose both the Chiefs and the Royals. Now, I don't know anything about baseball. I don't know if the Royals are good or popular or anything. But I know the Chiefs are pretty popular. And I don't know how much money they make, but I can assume it's a lot. And also, the Missouri already lost the Rams. The St. Louis Rams used to be, you know, in Missouri. And then they moved to L.A. And so now not only have they lost the Rams, they might lose both the Royals and the Chiefs. So that's going to that's going to be a hit on the economy for Missouri, presumably. I mean, I assume both the Royals and the Chiefs bring in a lot of tax revenue for Missouri. And like the Kansas Department of Commerce said, I mean, they're aggressively pursuing it. Those were their words. I'm sure it's going to happen. Now, the Dolphins, as we all know, have had a rough season, but they're on a comeback. They're on a comeback streak. Mike McDaniels has kept his job, but the GM, whose name I cannot recall at the top of my head, has been fired for the Dolphins. Happened a few weeks ago, and ever since the Dolphins have fired their GM, the Dolphins have all but won out, I do believe. They beat the Jaguars, the Lions. Oh, wait, I think I'm going backwards. Definitely going backwards. But yes, they have, they beat the Bills, they beat the Commanders, they beat the Saints, beat the Jets. They lost to the Steelers on Monday. But that was the first game they've lost since firing their GM, is my understanding. And, so maybe the GM was really a problem, but I don't know how bad... I don't know. I don't know what all the GM does. I'll be 100% with you. I don't know what all they do as far as the actual coaching and managing of the team. I figured it was finances and things of that sort, more of like the numbers. And the coaching staff dealt with the players. But I don't know how firing a GM ends up with 5 or 6 game win streak. But it does, I guess. So, I mean, I get... It's valid to think that the front office has problems with it, but I don't know that you could. I didn't know that you could just fire a GM and all of a sudden the whole team would just do a 180 instantly. But anyways, Mike McDaniels might have done enough to keep his job. He was on the hot seat. The Dolphins figured they'd give him the rest of the season to see how he did. I figured they'd fire him right along with the GM of the Dolphins. They did not. And apparently they proved me wrong. Because, like I said, Mike McDaniels has done... Or, I guess the Dolphins, led by Mike McDaniels, has done pretty well as of late. They have... Bench Tua, though, so Tua Tagovailoa? I don't know, it's a strange pronunciation for the last name. But, yeah. So Tua has been benched by the Dolphins, and they have promoted Quinn Ewers to the starting quarterback. There are only 3 games left this year, so he's only going to get 3 chances to play at starting quarterback. But 3 games better than nothing, and I think they should have done it sooner, personally. I mean, their season was pretty good and well over. And Tua has had struggles all year, and last game especially, and henceforth why he got benched. There was a bit of a question as to, well, when I say a bit, I do mean just like a small bit. Like, there was some question as to why they didn't start Zach Wilson over Quinn Ewers, and I think that the answer is pretty simple. I think that the answer is... pretty much just that, Quinn Ewers is a rookie. They wanted to see what he could do. And, you know, there's three games left. I don't know that they can clinch a play. They might be able to clinch a playoff spot at this point if they win out completely. But they'd need a lot of losses, I'm sure. But Mike McDaniel said that he thinks that Quinn Ewers gives the team the best chance to win against the Bengals. And he said that, ultimately the team needs, and I'm looking for, conviction in quarterback play. Understanding that he is a rookie, I felt that he would play the position the most convicted, which impacts every player on the field. I don't know what being a rookie has to do with you know, conviction. I'm sure that, you know, Zach Wilson has a conviction of some kind that he would like to become a starting quarterback again. I mean, he was drafted to the Jets and was immediately their starting quarterback. I'm sure he has some conviction. I mean, Tua just got benched for a guy you drafted in the 7th round. I'm sure that gave Tua some new conviction. I think they made the right choice with Quinn Ewers, but I don't know that he's the most convicted is the reasoning as to why. But anyways, I think that they made the right choice with Quinn Ewers. Don't know what rookie has to do with him being a convicted player, but Tua obviously has said he's not happy about it, but he has said that his role on the team, if not starting at quarterback, is to help the starter win games. So, I guess Tua, in theory, is supposed to be helping Quinn Ewers get a feel for the game. I guess NFL speed, you know, NFL's a whole different level from college. I have faith in Tua. I got faith in Tua to help Quinn Ewers, but I got faith in Quinn Ewers. I'm sure they could beat the Bengals. I mean, the defense is good. They're going to have problems against the defense, but the offense is struggles. So long as the Dolphins defense can hold up, I think that the Dolphins could do it. Also, there are Christmas Day games this year. The Cowboys at the Commanders, Lions at Vikings, and Broncos at Chiefs. The Cowboys and the Commanders are going to be an interesting game because both of them are kind of mid-teams. The Commanders are really interesting. I thought the Commanders were going to be better this year. I had a lot of faith in Jaden Daniels. I understand he got hurt partway through the season and, you know, has come back. But, I don't know. I think he goes by Bill, but it's like Jackson Krosky McCarrot. Or Jaxie Crosskit Merritt, something like that. I think he's the one that goes by Bill. But anyways, he has not done, I mean, he did well in the preseason. He has not lived up to his preseason hype. Jaden Daniels hasn't lived up to his rookie season hype. Terry McLaurin's kind of fallen off a bit. I don't know. I mean, it's been a rough year for the Commanders. And the Cowboys. I mean, you know, I've said my piece about Jerry Jones. But, you know, CD got hurt. I mean, they got, 1 second. Let me make sure I'm thinking of the right team here. But I do believe they got absolutely killed in the last game they played. Well, I guess they didn't get killed, but 34-26 against the Vikings, and the Vikings are nothing really to write home about. They're 6-8. The Cowboys are 6-7-1. So the only difference is the Cowboys have a tie there, and the tie is against the Packers, by the way. Fun fact. I think that the Cowboys are probably going to win that game over the Commanders. But, only just. And, the Lions play the Vikings. Now, the Vikings did put up 34 points on the Cowboys. But, you know, the Cowboys' defense has, not been the greatest as of late since they lost, Micah Parsons. He's the only real, he was he was the biggest threat on the Cowboys' defense. And, Marshawn Nealon no longer being with us. So, they've lost two edge players. It's been rough for the Cowboys defense. They still have Trevion Diggs and somebody else. I can't think of his name. Dak, obviously. I mean, I personally feel Dak's overrated, but if you are a Cowboys fan, Dak has to be the greatest thing of all time for you. I mean, he is good. He's just not as good as I think everybody makes him out to be. But that's a personal issue, I guess. I, once again, think the Lions are going to win this game. But I will say that I'm rooting for the Vikings. Because if the Vikings win this game, if the Vikings win this game, the record of the NFC North, right now the Packers are 9-4 and the Bears are on top of the NFC North. If the Packers, if the Packers lose and the Lions lose, the Packers are still second in the NFC North. But if the Vikings win and the Bears lose and the Packers win, then the Packers are on top of the NFC North. We don't necessarily need the Lions to lose to be on top of the NFC North, but it just helps because the Lions are only one win behind the... Well, I guess two wins in theory because we have a tie instead of two losses. But, anyways... It would just be beneficial for the Packers for the Lions to lose. So I'm rooting for the Vikings. But I think the Lions are going to win that game. And the Broncos at Chiefs. And I think the Broncos are going to beat that. Beat them. I don't think that the Chiefs are going to do all that great. Gardner Minshew is in as starting quarterback. Rashee Rice is out. Travis Kelce's not what he used to be. He's kind of fallen off. It's been a rough year for the Chiefs. I mean, you won't go from back-to-back Super Bowl champions to a not great team. Not even making the playoffs. And by the way, the Broncos had a whole turnaround. I don't remember what their record was last year, but they're 12-2 this year. I was unaware of that until earlier today. Bo Nix has to be popping off, or somebody has to be popping off, and I'm assuming it's Bo Nix. Definitely Bo Nix. 23 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. I mean, I've seen better seasons, obviously, but, the man's only been in the... Well, I guess he's been in the NFL for longer than I thought. I don't know how long, when he got drafted. Ooh, look at that. Well, Bo Nix has thrown more touchdown passes in a season than any Bronco quarterback except Peyton Manning. Bo Nix is doing well. Now, I don't know that I can say that the Broncos are going to go to the Super Bowl. I still have faith that the Packers can make the Super Bowl, even though we haven't clinched a playoff spot yet, but that's, let's not talk about that. So, yeah, as far as the Christmas Day games go, by the way, Christmas Day games, the NFL and the NBA both have Christmas Day games. I think that's interesting because the Christmas used to be a basketball thing, and the NFL did not really do Christmas games, I do believe. And then at one point, the NFL did significantly better than the NBA on Christmas. And when I say significantly better, I mean significant. I mean, obviously you can't get exact numbers, but the NFL last year on Christmas had 24 to 29 million viewers, and the NBA's Christmas games had 5 to 8 million viewers. So the NFL has absolutely stolen Christmas. Now, like I said, I don't know how long the NFL has been doing Christmas games. But the NFL has certainly taken the spot there. They have always done Christmas games, or Thanksgiving games, is my understanding. And also, apparently, they started playing on Christmas in 1971, and stopped for 18 years, I guess, due to complaints about the long due to complaints about a long football game between the Dolphins and the Chiefs. And it became a tradition again starting in 1989 with an annual occurrence now since 2020. What? Maybe they took a year off after 2020. Yeah, it looks like they took off 2021 and then now they've done 22, 23, and 25. So, anyways, the NFL has dominated the Christmas games. Or at least recently been dominating the Christmas games. I wasn't aware that the Christmas or that NFL had done Christmas games so often. We go to my grandma's every year on Christmas, and same way we do for Thanksgiving. But no, we never watch the Christmas football games. Apparently, but yeah. Apparently the NBA has been doing Christmas games since 1998 consecutively, which that's pretty cool. Holiday games are interesting to me, I guess, because I mean, I guess you have a lot of viewership because you know everybody's home for the holiday. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people are home for the holidays and off of work and you know whatnot. But you know, what about the what about the football players, basketball players, and whoever else has to play on Christmas? I'm sure they got family, friends, and stuff to do on Christmas. But I guess not. I guess somebody I don't know. I mean, I guess they get paid plenty of money. I'm sure they don't care all that much. Well, I don't know. They might be upset, but obviously they do it. But yeah, so, man, look at that, time's moved right along, it's 10:51. But yeah, if you have anything to say in the last, about 4 minutes here of the show, feel free to call in at 740-383-9944. We've talked about a lot of stuff, the Rams lost to the Seahawks in the two-point conversion that was given to the Seahawks to, take it to overtime. And the NFL potentially fining Puka for saying some things about refs on a live stream. TJ Watt suffering a collapsed lung due to dry needling, which, again, form of acupuncture, apparently. The Chiefs, the Royals, moving out of Missouri. Again, I feel, you know, I don't know exactly what's up with that. I mean, I just saw the article today. But I think that if the Chiefs move out and the Royals move out, I don't know what other teams Missouri has as far as... I know they have a NHL team, I do believe. And I think they have college teams. But, you know, they apparently used to have four teams, and they're about to have one. Maybe more. I don't know. Or, they're about to have one, yeah. Anyways, I don't know how many teams they had originally, but they have lost the Rams. They're about to lose the Chiefs and the Royals. Not great for them. Good for Kansas, I guess. Kansas is probably going to take that. So long as they're able to. My understanding in the article I read was that there is plenty of room in the area around Kansas City because, you know, it's Kansas. There's nothing in Kansas but Kansas City and farmland. So. But. Oh, by the way, I did forget to add that I'm pretty sure the reason that the Chiefs wanted the big old budget for the renovation on the stadium is because, like the Browns, they want a domed stadium. Now, I don't know how long their stadium's going to take to build, unlike the Browns, who are aiming for 2029. The Chiefs are looking, to my understanding, to be gone sooner than that. So, again, don't know how long it'll be, don't know how that whole thing's going to work out, but the Chiefs and the Royals both looking to move to Kansas. And that'd be good tax dollars for the Kansas, or, well, I almost said for the Kansas City Chiefs, but they're not there. It'd be good tax dollars for the people of Kansas City. And, well, in Kansas as a whole, I suppose. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's... I don't know what Kansas really does as far as how they make money, but, they don't have much there. I've never been to Kansas. I'd go to Kansas. Seems nice. Seems like a kind of like Ohio. Just less people. But yeah, we got 45 seconds left in the show. So, with that being said, I appreciate everybody for listening. It is cold outside, so do your best to stay warm and stay healthy. Forgot we had a Grinch balloon. Looked over and it was staring at me. But, yeah. So, I appreciate everybody for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful night. Well, here soon, at least. We got, like, 10 seconds. But, hope you all have a wonderful night. Like I said, stay safe. Stay warm. Yeah. I appreciate everybody for listening. You can listen, well, you know, all the time. Monday through Friday. 8 to 10. There are other shows that I do not know the schedule of all that well. But yeah, you can listen on the TuneIn app, you can listen on the website, etc. For the last time, I appreciate everybody for listening. We wouldn't do it if it were not for the listeners. And have a nice night. Thank you and goodbye.
And who better to read this than the man with the golden voice?